Good morning. So for 98-99% of my life on a Sunday morning, even while raising kids, I didn't get one ready. She did. Three of them. This morning, two grown adults to get one little one. One little granddaughter ready for church. It was an adventure, and we're almost defeated by the car seat. Almost. And Chris and I are very, very thankful for a younger daughter who looks strikingly like her older daughter, who calms the baby down because it looks like mom. So it's a lot of adventures in our household this weekend as we were babysitting, so taking care of Charlotte. So all that to say, you know, what a new revelation or a reminder for me of how much it is when we come here and sit down. You know, I have to take a deep breath, have to focus, have to set my mind for what I'm doing here. And just a kind of a reminder of what so many families go through just to make it to church in the morning. So welcome, and we're glad you're here. Let's begin with singing our opening hymn this morning. Christ the Eternal Lord.
Greetings in our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the Sunday, May 3rd, 2026 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in production of this broadcast are Bill and Diane Breen and Ken Richard. The opening hymn is number 829, Christ the Eternal Lord, hymn number 829 in the Lutheran service book. Joanne Marlin is sponsoring the flowers on the altar today to the glory of God in memory of Florence Schrader and Doris Marlin. Reverend Charles and Nancy Olander are sponsoring the radio broadcast today to the glory of God in thanksgiving for the faithful service of Pastor Thompson and all the staff, teachers, and volunteers of Zion Lutheran Church.
Thank you.
Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in his stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul.
I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being.
Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation.
When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish.
Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God.
Who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever.
Who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free.
The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous.
The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. The way of the wicked he brings to ruin.
The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord.
To God on high. Thank you. Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, you make the minds of your faithful to be of one will. Grant that we may love what you have commanded and desire what you promise, that among the many changes of this world our hearts may be fixed where true joys are found. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. The first reading for this, the fifth Sunday of Easter, is from the book of Acts, the sixth chapter, beginning at the first verse. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and of the Corinthians, and of the Alexandrians, of whom those from Cilicia and Asia rose up and disputed with Stephen. And Stephen said, "Brothers and fathers, hear me. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did not your fathers persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered. You who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it." Now when they heard these things, they were enraged and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he cried out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review. In regards to the Lord's Prayer, what is the seventh petition?
"But deliver us from evil."
What does this mean?
We pray in this petition, in summary, that our Father in heaven would rescue us from every evil of body and soul, possessions and reputation, and finally, when our last hour comes, give us a blessed end and graciously take us from this valley of sorrow to himself in heaven.
The epistle reading from 1 Peter, the second chapter, beginning at the second verse. "Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, 'Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious. And whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become a cornerstone, and stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the Alleluia. According to St. John, the 14th chapter. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and still you do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Did you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these he will do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the gospel of our Lord, we confess our common Christian faith with the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and indivisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated for the singing of our next hymn.
The hymn of the day is hymn number 797, Praise the Almighty, hymn number 797 in the Lutheran Service Book.
The sermon text this morning is from our first reading from the book of Acts. A complaint arose against the Hebrews because of their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. Thus far the words of our text. Please be seated. He is risen.
Indeed. Alleluia.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, in the life of the fledgling beginning of what would come to be later known as the Christian Church, a bit of time has passed in our first reading since the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus into heaven. The number of believers continues to grow. The Jewish leaders' harsh treatment of the apostles has done nothing to slow down the growth of the path that the Jesus followers are on. The imprisonment, the beatings hasn't stopped anything. In fact, if it has done anything, the attitude of the apostles for being beaten and being thrown into prison, an attitude of joy and glory, has caused the Christian church, the fledgling Christian church, to grow. Consequently, that means the number of disciples or hearers of the word continues to increase. However, right, with an increase in numbers comes an increase in tensions. It's not a conflict in doctrine yet or anything like that, but that will come. But it's in what we call social ministry. For Christians know that all people are dear to God. All people are dear to Christ, and all people ought to be dear to us also, dear to one another. But there was tension in the daily distribution of the food to the widows. See, in Jerusalem, there were Jews from all over the world who had settled in Jerusalem or maybe had moved back to Jerusalem. But there was the world as they knew it, and the Jewish mind was divided into those who were ethnically Jewish and those who were Jewish and those who were outside of Jerusalem, outside of Israel, those who lived in places like Greece and Turkey and other parts, North Africa and Egypt and such places. And those places that were informed in culture by the Greek culture were called the Hellenists, and the others were called the Hebrews, or the regular Jewish. What word was it in our text? Anyway, we know the Greeks were called the Hellenists. And I was looking at that and I'm thinking, okay, so what is it like? It'd be probably like this. Let's say somebody is from Irish descent. Your great-great-grandparents came from Ireland. And you often might say to somebody, I'm Irish. And that works here. But try going to Ireland, into a small village in Ireland, and saying, I'm Irish. They're not going to agree with you. They're going to look at you and say, no, you're an American. And there might be a little bit of tension in that ethnic background there. Not a lot, but a little bit. Fair enough. I mean, they're not angry at you, but they won't agree with you. Anyway, the issue is like so many issues that are rise in the church. There is a money issue that's going on. Either it's you're giving money to your widows and not our widows, or it's something like, we're buying food with the money that was donated, and you're distributing the food, but you're distributing the food unequally. Your widows are getting more than our widows are getting. And so there was a tension in the church. Trouble is brewing. Was it true? I don't know. Was it a matter of perception? Of course it was. Money was collected for the relief of the poor. That's true. Surely the apostles did their best to fairly distribute all of the proceeds. However, they were doing this, you're going to find this shocking, they were doing this among people. And where there are people, there are problems. And before you start thinking about who the problem person is in your life, always remember that you're a people to somebody else too. And so we all are the source of and the solution to many of life's issues and life's problems. And so the trouble is brewing. Nonetheless, there's a problem. It is very possible that where the Spirit of God is working mightily, there is at work demonic forces rising up to agitate against the work of the Holy Spirit. Do you remember when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness? Right? He was 40 days and 40 nights with no food and in the wilderness, and then the devil comes and tempts him, and he withstands the three temptations. But what is the end of that account, that scriptural account tell us? Did the devil leave him alone forever? Nope. The devil left him until what? An opportune time. When might one of those opportune times have come that the devil would come back and test Jesus or tempt Jesus? How about just after Peter confesses Jesus to be the Christ? Who do the people say I am? Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some say one of the prophets. But who do you say I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So a great high point of Simon Peter understanding who Jesus is and confessing who Jesus is. And immediately after that, Jesus begins to tell them that the Son of Man, that is Jesus, has to go back to Jerusalem, has to suffer and be persecuted and die on the cross, and on the third day rise again. And what does Peter do? Takes him off to the side and starts to go, no, surely, Lord, this isn't going to happen to you. And what does Jesus do? Jesus turns and looks over Peter's shoulder at the other disciples, looks at Peter, and he says, get thee behind me, Satan. You have in mind the things of man, not the things of God. It was an opportune time for temptation. The earnest concern of a friend is unmasked as a ploy by the devil to dissuade Jesus from his task. Jesus was indeed tempted, but he withstood the temptation. In a more stark way, think of what must have happened with Judas. How many times did Judas repent in his heart? I wonder about that. How many times he was sorry for dipping his hand into the money bag? How many times he was sorry for stealing out of the communal fund? And repent and was sorry over it, only to succumb once again to his greed, once again to help himself to the funds in the money bag. Did he have debts that he needed to pay? Did he like extra wine and good food? Did he take money out, fully intending to repay what he used? Right in Jesus' inner circle, right in the middle of Holy Week, the adversary was at work to the extent that after Judas took the bread from Jesus' hand, Satan entered him. And so it is apparent that people fall prey to the old Adam. They become jealous of others. They covet what other people have. It's something every single one of us must guard against. It's equally as true that there's a spiritual world all around us. For our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Ever since your baptism, ever since you were brought into the Father's kingdom by the very hands of the Father himself, you have been subject to demonic attention, seeking to bring you to a loss of faith and to eternal death. That is you. And the church, then, is not exempt from trouble and conflict. So what do the apostles do? Well, in this case, the apostles recognize their limitations, and they reaffirm their primary duty. The clergy preach and pray. The distribution of food or the distribution of funds just isn't in their wheelhouse. They aren't going to be pulled away from prayer and preaching by the social ministry and social inreach of the congregation any more than getting beaten in prison would pull them away from their prayers. I think it's good for every pastor to remember that preaching the gospel is the best work that he can be engaged in. That is, followed by prayer for the people, and then humbly repenting for his weakness in both areas. How then is the labor of the other work of the congregation to be accomplished for one another? If the clergy are to spend their time in prayer and preaching and studying of the word, how's the work of the congregation to be done? The Holy Spirit led the apostles to ask the congregation to do something. They led the apostles to ask the Holy Spirit led the apostles to ask the people to nominate seven men full of the Spirit, of good character, of morally upright, to nominate men who would be good for this position, who would be trusted with the common funds, who would be sensibly frugal. And then the congregation did what we still do today. They put it to a vote right in the congregation. They voted on the issue. And seven men were chosen for the task of distributing the food to the widows. The names are all overwhelmingly Greek names, for what that's worth to the account. But it is important to note that the congregation abided by the vote. Even the men who weren't elected, who weren't one of the seven chosen, abided by the vote. And with, I guess, just like today, a reluctant saint who was nominated but wasn't chosen breathed a little sigh of relief. And after all of this, the apostles publicly appointed these men to the task to which they had been appointed. And scripturally, it appears that the men undertook this task with all diligence. So we see, according to the book of Acts, conflict arose in the church. Was it feelings? I don't know. Was it perceptions over the facts? I doubt it. If it was just perceptions over the facts, the apostles would have said, no, you're wrong. They didn't. They addressed the issue and had to work it out. Was it jealousy or covetous to blame? I don't know that either. Was satanic opposition fanning the flames? That probably contributed to some of the issues in the early church and in every church. Whatever the cause, there was conflict. How was it dealt with? It was dealt with by the congregation, by a respect for good order and a respect for one another. The problem was about earthly issues, not doctrine. Doctrine is given by God and is decided by the Bible. It's not put up to a vote. Here, though, a vote was necessary. And the clergy were wise enough to take their hands off the distribution of food and faithful enough to stick to prayer and preaching. The people trusted that the Holy Spirit would guide the voters, and they each humbled themselves to accept the vote. The resolution to a problem was not imposed, but it was proposed, and all agreed to it. You know, when I first looked at this text, it seemed fairly boring. A treasurer's ledger and voters' meetings. Yet, because both were treated decently and in good order, well, we saw the old Adam drowned in faith. We saw in our text the devil and his forces held at bay, and the message of Christ crucified, risen, and risen for the sins of the life everlasting, the sins of the people in life everlasting continue, even as it has continued up until today. I guess it wasn't as boring as I thought it was. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and your minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
Let us now all rise for the singing of the offertory.
Thank you.
You have been sharing in the Sunday morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM or at www.zlclinc.org, where you will find links to the internet stream and to Facebook Live. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 217-732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact our principal, Dr. Stephen Perry, at 217-732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.
Let us rise for prayer. We pray for the people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, through the power of Christ's resurrection, you adopt all who believe in him. Receive us as your newborn children and nourish our faith through the pure spiritual milk of your word, that we may dwell in your presence forever. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Send laborers into your harvest, Lord. Preserve your ministers among us devoted to your word and to prayer. Give many servants to your church that neither the preaching nor the care of your people may fall into neglect or disregard. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Holy God, your power brought all things into being and still preserves what you have made. We pray you to bless Donald, our president. We pray you to bless the Congress of these United States and JB, our governor, and all elected and appointed civil servants. Lead them to honor you and your purpose, establishing order and justice, encouraging virtue, and protecting all life. Give them wisdom and moderation to lead for the well-being of the nation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father of glory, your Son declared himself to be the way, the truth, and the life. Bless all who are in our prayers this day. Especially do we pray for Dennis Ramlow as he seeks healing from an infection in his body, and for Nancy Olander as she battles the ills of this mortal frame. May Christ himself be their way of salvation, their truth amid the doubt, and their life amidst the death. Grant them a sure and steadfast hope in the good news that as he has prepared a place for them with you, where pain and sickness are no more, and all things are made new. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, in Christ you have made us a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a people for your possession. Preserve your people in the one true faith, and grant that all who come to the supper this day might do so with repentant hearts, and thankfully receive your Son's body and blood. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, we thank and praise you for your servant Stephen, whom your Son has received into his glory. May we imitate him in faith and love to speak your truth with boldness, forgiving those who sin against us as Christ forgave his persecutors from the cross. And when our last hour comes, let us all fall asleep in him and be born into eternal life, for the sake of him who was born into our flesh to redeem it, even Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We continue now with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored us to everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, with Peter and John, with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. serve you in the true faith and the life everlasting. Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will strengthen and preserve you in the true faith of the life everlasting. Be a part of His peace. Amen. Please rise. The true body and true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in His peace. Amen. Amen. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
The closing hymn is number 861, Christ Be My Leader, hymn number 861 in the Lutheran Service Book. Please be seated. Just a couple things here that I'd like to point out this morning. First of all, there's a new award at Zion, and there's a bulletin note in here. The Zion Lutheran School is looking for recipients for the first Eagle Alumni Award. So I'd like you to, you know, read that and take that into consideration and see if there's an alumni that can be nominated for this particular award. We've got graduation Sunday coming up, and if you have a graduate, senior high or college, please let Mrs. Meyer or the church office know so we can get that in the bulletin for that appropriate Sunday. Also, I have a note here today that the junior and senior high youth groups are meeting today, and this is a makeup from Super Bowl Sunday, so it got postponed till this particular Sunday. Junior high and senior high are both meeting here, junior high for Christian formation and game time, and senior high for a movie from 3 to 4:45 for both of them, and each group is to bring a snack or a drink to share. So that is this afternoon from 3 to 4:45. Megan, I see you. Vacation Bible experience?
Not just school yet, but you just wait. There will be plenty of information coming soon about Vacation Bible School, which is not Vacation Bible experience, because it is an afternoon. But I'm asking you here today because we do have one last opportunity
And Megan, do those make an excellent Mother's Day gift?
Ah,
that's what I thought. That's what I thought. I do have one extra announcement to make here, right quick, while Bill is shutting off the internet.